Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains May 2nd through the 12th. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Hey, everybody. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to Beekeeping for Newbies. This is going to be this week's In the News segment, episode number 19 of In the News. Today, we've got articles coming to us from St. Joseph, Minnesota, Athens, Georgia, Germany, New Mexico, and Virginia. So let's jump right in and start with St. Joseph, Minnesota. St. Joseph to allow beekeeping in residential zones. The St. Joseph Planning Commission approved a final draft of the honeybee ordinance at its Monday, September 9th meeting. There is soon to be a buzz in the air in St. Joseph. Members of the city's planning commission approved a final draft of a honeybee ordinance that would permit beekeeping in all residential districts at its Monday, September 9th meeting. That includes areas zoned as agricultural, rural residential, single-family residential, two-family residential, and townhouse or patio house residential. Some restrictions apply, including a sign identifying the housing of honeybees at the entrances and exit points of all hive enclosures. There are also density limits. Density limits are 1/2 of an acre or smaller is 2 colonies, 1/2 acre to 3/4 acre is 4 colonies, 3/4 of an acre to 1 acre is 6 colonies, 1 acre to 5 acres is 8 colonies, and larger than 5 acres has no restrictions. No residents spoke during the public hearing portion of the Planning Commission's meeting. The item will now be moved to the upcoming St. Joseph City Council meeting at 6 p.m. on Monday, September 16th. Currently, Sauk Rapids also has a beekeeping ordinance in place that limits 6 hives, according to the University of Minnesota Bee Lab. So that's a good short article there coming out of St. Joseph, Minnesota. You know, I think it's important to show some level of involvement by local government, because a lot of times it's instinctive to want to be like, oh boy, here goes the government, you know, sticking their hands in people's business again. But, you know, I think it's important, and it actually shows that they're engaged, right? It shows that this local government is hearing beekeepers, they're communicating with their residents, they're having dialogue, and it's important to protect, you know, not only the citizens and the residents of those communities, but to protect the beekeepers as well. So these policies, ordinances, and things, they're going to work well and better for everybody than kind of going with like the Wild West approach that then puts everybody in liability and it just makes it tough on everyone. So good job there, folks of St. Joseph. Okay, next article is coming to us out of Athens, Georgia. New research from the company behind the first honeybee vaccine offers hope for beekeepers against a deadly viral pathogen. Dallin Animal Health Incorporated, the leader in invertebrate health, today announced new experimental findings of their innovative bacterial vaccine's potential to significantly reduce deformed wing virus variant Bravo, DWV-B, in honeybee populations. Now, a quick break here. You know, there's lots of different viruses, bacteria, fungi. There's a lot of things that can affect a bee or the colony, the hive. But we're regularly and routinely talking about the varroa mite. And, you know, it's not so much what the varroa mite does by itself. It's the fact that it weakens the bees. It weakens their immunoresponse, and it makes them more susceptible to other disease and illness. I always say it's kind of like the HIV of the bee world. So people, you know, that had HIV weren't necessarily dying of AIDS. They were dying of pneumonia or some other kind of secondary illness. Deformed wing virus is kind of one of those things that is a secondary illness that is common among bees that have very high varroa mite loads. So again, another reason to make sure you're treating for varroa. Okay, back to the article. Dallin made headlines in 2023 with the world's first honeybee vaccine, which is conditionally licensed by the USDA and CFIA for protection against American foulbrood, a devastating bacterial disease. As part of maintaining USD conditional approval, Dallin conducted an experimental trial across 400 hives in commercial operations aimed at understanding and developing new vaccines for honeybee health. The full season study showed an 83% reduction in the levels of DWV-B as measured by PCR, independent of mite load. DWV-B is one of the three major variants of deformed wing virus alongside DWV-A and the less common DWV-C. This variant is rapidly becoming more prevalent worldwide, overtaking DWV-A in many regions. DWV, which is transmitted by the parasitic mite Varroa destructor, causes deformed wings in adult honeybees, preventing them from leaving the hive to forage. There are currently no preventatives or treatments for deformed wing virus, making the management of mite populations crucial. Okay, and that article is going to continue a little bit further. It'll be linked on the Beekeeping for Newbies homepage if you'd like to read the rest of that. Next article coming to us out of Germany, honeybees. Dangerous mixtures. Pesticides in combination can have unexpected effects on the development of honeybees. This is shown by a new study from the BioCenter. Honeybees are social insects. Their colony only survives as a community, and healthy new generations are very important. It's therefore not surprising the honeybees invest significant care and resources into their offspring. Nurse bees feed the young larvae with a food juice made from nectar and pollen, which they produce in a gland in their head, aka the royal jelly. However, pollen in particular can contain residues of various insecticides and other pesticides. It is therefore very likely that bee larvae are exposed to a complex mixture of chemicals. What impact do insecticides authorized in the EU have on the development of honeybees on their own and in combination with fungicides, especially in concentrations found in the environment? Researchers from the BioCenter of Julius Maximilians Universitat, JMU, Würzburg in Bavaria, Germany, have investigated this question. Their findings have been published in the scientific journal Environmental Pollution, capital E, capital P there. The effects of pesticide combinations at low environmentally relevant doses have otherwise been rarely investigated. As our study shows, this is urgently needed because the agents can interact and reinforce each other's effects, explains PhD student Sarah Manzer, first author of the study. It is also possible that interactions occur at low concentrations only and not at high concentrations, and vice versa. There are large knowledge gaps, which we have now been able to reduce with another piece of the puzzle, says the JMU researcher. So another interesting article on that. Moving on to New Mexico. An Albuquerque-based company claims to have a possible solution for the decline in honeybee populations. Known as Terra Vera, the fairly new company that launched in 2020 started as a way to boost crop production, particularly for cannabis. The company advertises itself as providing amino acid-based crop protection and nutrients. Carlos Perea, the company's CEO, describes the venture into apiculture as an accidental discovery. Some of Terra Vera's early customers also kept bees. They reported that their bee colonies were looking healthier after using Terra Vera's products. Terra Vera began investigating the possibility that its system might benefit bees. In particular, it looked at how the technology could be adapted to address the devastating impacts of varroa mites. This technology, Perea said, is an offshoot of a different product first developed at Los Alamos National Laboratory more than two decades ago. He said the original technology took salts and converted them into a chemistry that's effective at killing pathogens in water for making it potable or drinkable. In the early 2000s, Perea was the CEO of a company known as Myox Corporation, which converted the technology developed by Los Alamos into a commercial application. However, he later left New Mexico to work in a role where he was acquiring cannabis operations in the U.S. Perea said one of the problems faced at the cannabis operations was plant disease. So plants, like people, when you put them in proximity, one gets sick, they all get sick, and you lose your yields, he said. Perea approached a friend, Justin Sanchez, who had continued working for his previous employer after Perea had sold it. He said to his friend, "Hey, we're killing viruses and bacteria in water. I'd like to do this on plants." Sanchez, who worked as the chief technology officer at Myox, mentioned that he'd developed an offshoot of the technology that could be applicable to agriculture. Sanchez and Perea teamed up to found Terra Vera. Perea said that the end goal for Terra Vera was to replace the pesticides that are harming the environment and getting into food supplies. They did not initially look at the technology as a possible solution for apiculturists struggling with mites, but when the possibility emerged, the experiments began. Perea said that when Terra Vera realized that the technology could really help with the problem of varroa mites killing off bee colonies, we really put our energy and focus into this area, and that's kind of how we evolved the company. This year, Terra Vera launched a bee division known as Apivera and brought on Jeff Pettis, an experienced entomologist and honeybee expert. Pettis has an extensive resume that includes leading research at the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Beltsville Bee Laboratory. Terra Vera's technology is groundbreaking as it's the most promising, safe, and sustainable solution that I've seen that can improve bee colony health and survival rates, Pettis said in a press release announcing the launch of Apivera. By launching Apivera, with a dedicated focus on developing and expanding the research of bee health solutions, we can help more beekeepers than ever before and in turn make a positive impact on our environment and food systems around the globe. So again, the article continues on, but you know, in this space here where we're constantly every day. Like every day I'm talking to somebody about it. I mean, I'm talking about it, writing about it, reading about it, filming about it. Varroa is everywhere, and that's kind of all we talk about. So we have some solutions in place that are working fairly well, but you're constantly having to mix things up, try different things, use different things at different times of year based on temperature restrictions on the various product, based on resistance, based on some of the studies basically proving that multiple solutions within an apiary are more effective. There's a lot of reasons, you know, why we're using multiple different things. But to have another solution out there, particularly one that might be a bit more natural or is at least as natural as everything else that's out there, it's good to have some options. So hopefully they'll have some good luck and results moving forward. Okay, last on the list today is a short one coming to us out of Bedford, Virginia. The Blue Ridge Bee Festival in Bedford. An event promoting all things bees, pollinators, plants, and local food is in the Blue Ridge this weekend. It's called the Blue Ridge Bee Festival. There's a beautiful lineup of speakers, activities, music, food, and more lined up for Saturday. The speakers will talk about beekeeping, the pollinators' importance, and you're even able to ask beekeepers questions about their own role and how they do it. Also, a swarm of more than 50 vendors, get that, swarm of 50 vendors, are going to be giving out local honey from all over the region. Lee Wittekind, Bedford's Outdoor Events and Outreach Coordinator, says this event is focused on all bees native to our area and spreading awareness on how they are positive in our environment. There are actually a few hundred bees native to Virginia, Wittekind said. They are very important to pollination. When it comes to the honeybees, Bedford County is one of the highest per capita beekeepers in the state. We've heard a lot of recent studies and benefits of local honey for your health in terms of allergies, in terms of immune system. The festival is this Saturday at Falling Creek Park in Bedford from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., rain or shine. So that's going to be Saturday, the 14th of September. According to event organizers, there will be 5 parking lots available for attendees. The shuttle bus will be available for the parking area beside the sheriff's office from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. So sounds like a good time to be had out there in Bedford, Virginia, if you're anywhere nearby. Well, folks, that is all I've got for you on this week's In the News segment here. I hope you guys enjoyed it. As always, everything will be posted on the Beekeeping for Newbies homepage in the News link. Just click that and you'll see every In the News article we've ever posted. It'll be there. And outside of that, please check out the YouTube channel. I'm trying to get as much content out there as I can to help supplement everything we talk about here on the podcast. And I'm doing a beekeeping tips of the day right now. I think we just did day 11 today because it's the 11th. And I've got about 19 more of them to go this month. And we'll see how that works out. All right, everybody, take care. Be kind to one another. And don't forget that I love you. And there's nothing you can do about it. We'll talk to you soon.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.